But it's also connectedness. And connectedness lending itself to mental health. And so just for pockets of people, understanding, number one, what does it take for you to feel like you're connected to your community and to someone else to improve your mental health?
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you are listening to Into the Fold, a podcast on issues in mental health. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. Before we dive into today's episode, it is worth noting that this episode is our 80th. Since 2014, we have used this space to have conversations with mental health consumers, advocates, researchers, and providers who have offered both deeply personal reflections and expert insight into the world of mental health. Covering everything from faith in mental health to public policy to community mental health to the mental health of musicians, we're grateful to everyone who has shared their stories as a way of furthering our understanding about mental health and the conditions that support it. And a big, big thanks to all of you listeners out there. To learn more about this podcast, you can always visit hogg.utexas.edu/podcast. On April 24th, 2019, the Hogg Foundation held its biennial Robert Lee Sutherland Seminar in Bastrop, Texas. The theme was Working Together for Rural Well-Being. For one very special day, people from across Texas, mixed with Hogg Foundation grantees, staff, and invited speakers for immersion in the key themes of community collaboration, inclusive change-making, social determinants of health, and methods for productive dialogue, all with the aim of gaining inspiration and insight into rural well-being that they could take back to their communities. The first Robert Lee Sutherland Seminar was held in 1978 in Austin. The inaugural Robert Lee Sutherland Seminar, or RLS, was keynoted by then-First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Ever since, the biennial event has provided opportunities to reflect on the state of mental health and promote innovation and collaboration among providers, advocates, consumers, and their families. The event is named for Robert Lee Sutherland, the first executive director of the Hogg Foundation, who served in that role from 1940 to 1970. Today, we are sharing reflections from some attendees of this year's event, as well as their hopes and aspirations for mental health and well-being in their communities. Let us begin with a familiar voice, Dr. Octavio N. Martinez, Jr., Executive Director of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health.
So specifically for this conference, though, we're wanting to drill down when it really comes to the issues that are affecting overall well-being and health equity and even the social determinants of mental health as it relates to really rural Texas. So that's going to be the specificity of this conference, of this symposium, which I think is just a fabulous topic, as well as approach that we want to ensure that we are covering, because there's over 5 million Texans that live in rural Texas, and so it is extremely important. Well, some of the biggest challenges that are affecting rural Texas and even rural America are very similar to what happens in our urban and metro areas as well. But they're exacerbated, though, in rural America because of the challenges of some of the social determinants are not present or are more challenging in rural Texas. As an example, transportation is always a huge issue. And transportation is so key because that also leads to the ability to access services. And so that can be challenging in an urban or metro area, but it definitely is always an issue in rural Texas. And on top of that, talking about accessibility, the workforce issues that we have in rural Texas are really quite dire. We have primary care physicians, but yet we don't even have enough of those. And they're providing the majority of mental health services. And so the need for psychiatry and psychology and social work and even other specialists like geriatricians or child adolescent psychiatry are not present in many counties. And that makes things very challenging. And there is a whole list of other things that just are much more critical and are needed. Not to mention really just the economics. that can be very dire in certain parts of our state and makes it very challenging for our community members to be able to be responsive to their care and to their mental health care as well. I evaluate success of this kind. One, is there fellowship going on? Do you see collaborations happening? Individuals exchanging cards, having discussions, the ability to really take time away from their busy lives to just focus on these issues that we want to focus on here at the Robert Lee Sutherland Symposium.
I would like to highlight one of Dr. Martinez's success measures from that clip, fellowship and collaboration. Be listening out for that theme as you hear the remaining testimonials. Next, we will hear from Crystal Grimes, a Bastrop, Texas resident. Crystal is Resilience Director for Bastrop County Cares, one of the grantees of the Hogg Foundation's Collaborative Approaches to Well-Being in Rural Communities Initiative, which we launched in the summer of 2018 with the goal of supporting multi-sector collaboratives in 5 rural communities in Texas. Here's Crystal.
Well, today I'm actually the Resilience Director for Bastrop County Cares, and we're a grantee of the Hogg Foundation for the Well-Being of Rural Communities grant. And so I am here to learn, to absorb whatever I can, and also to educate people about what we're doing in Bastrop County to improve resilience, mental health, and well-being for our community members. Okay? Severe challenges for mental health and well-being currently in Bastrop County, of course, is substance abuse, but it's also connectedness. And connectedness lending itself to mental health. And so just for pockets of people understanding, number one, what does it take for you to feel like you're connected to your community and to someone else to improve your mental health? So the biggest thing that struck me being here is the potential for collaboration. We had a small little activity where we were walking around the room and talking to different people we'd never met. But as I talked to people, every single person, there was an opportunity to collaborate with them in a different part of Texas. And so that's the greatest part that I've learned being here.
Crystal said something that emerged as a recurring theme among attendees, the value of connectedness. It became clear that this seminar was about a place for people doing similar community change work across Texas to come together, find connection, and share ideas. Next, we spoke with Ms. Margene Mims, founder of the Morris County Collaborative, another rural community grantee.
I am the founder of the Morris County Collaborative, and we come as here to find out what is best for our county and what we can do to bring our initiative together and what we can do and bring the people together to be in and involved in our organization, because we have so much that are going on in our community. We're losing so many young people, and my heart is hurt because we don't have the opportunity that all the other counties have. But this day is a great day for us to be here, to learn how to do our initiative, learn how to interact with people, learn how to come together as a collaborative, and learn how to bring our community together. And not only that, but to change things. And that is one of the hard things that we have, that is getting people together to change things. But I believe that God brought us here for a reason. Because the pieces that we need, He's putting it together. We are going to change Morris County. And they're going to be through you all, because y'all have been so good to us. And we are so thankful for the great people that come in and blessing us with all the opportunities that we have. We have a lot of young people that we are losing to drugs. And we have a lot of them that are committing suicide and all of that. And I cry a lot because I know that if we don't save this generation, we're not going to have a generation of kids. So this is why I'm here, finding help that can help us to put things together in Morris County that will bring, we need hope. The kids need hope. We don't have hope there. Everything seems to be dying. So we want to put life back there and let the kids know that there is hope. There is hope. And we are the one that bring it. I've learned today is that coming together and treating each other as individuals and listen to people. And that's one of the greatest things. And another great thing is I learned today that love covers a multitude of sin. That the love that I felt in this room today, if we keep that, we're going to do some great things.
Marjane just touched on another prevalent theme, the need to leave something for the next generation and engage young people. We also spoke with Dr. Stephen Cooper of Stephen F. Austin State University and Azar Coulter, a community leader in Nacogdoches. Both are members of the Nacogdoches County Community Collaborative, another recipient of our Collaborative Approaches to Well-Being in Rural Communities grant.
I was given the opportunity to come to today's seminar by the SFA School of Social Work, Dr. Cooper. I believe one of the biggest challenges is educating people, making them aware that there are resources out there for them. We've done a lot with the community cafes, but there's still a lot of work to do. We have an organization that's called Hungry for Hope, and it is an organization that assists returning citizens and supporting them. And what I have found is that we're not the only county that is dealing with this situation, and it's a very important one, and so that encourages me.
I'm involved with the Nacogdoches County Community Collaborative, which is one of the five grantees under the Well-Being in Rural Communities Initiative. I think one of the biggest issues we face is just the lack of resources in terms of mental health services and trying to figure out how to bring people together and leverage the resources that we do have to overcome those challenges. I think just the opportunity to hear what other people are doing and the approaches that they have to dealing with the challenges. It's always interesting to hear different approaches, different ideas, and you know, maybe something you can use or sparks a new idea that you can take back home and use in your county. One of the things that's been, I think, reinforced is that you have to let these collaboratives move at their own pace. You know, you have an idea about where you want to be and what your timeline is, but the community's going to move at its own pace, and you have to allow the community the time that it needs to go through that process. And if you rush it, if you don't allow that time, then you're gonna pay for it on the backside. You know, you've got to allow that process to move at its own pace.
They just gave voice to one of the seminar's main objectives, to highlight the power that collaborative solutions can have in addressing the lack of resources in rural communities. Next up are Dr. Henry Solis and Jizia Shorts, both of the Be Well Victoria Collaborative, which was formed last summer under the leadership of Victoria County Public Health Department, and is one of the grantees of Collaborative Approaches to Well-Being in Rural Communities.
I was invited because I'm part of the coalition in Victoria. And, you know, initially we didn't have the ability to get together as a big group to be able to see how other people are doing it. So I thought that was really interesting that the whole team was here, and also to have a whole day where you're listening to people and experts that can expand our knowledge in serving the people in Victoria. I think a lot of it has to do with that our local mental health authorities are really overwhelmed. And so myself working with a federally qualified health center, we're just looking now at how do we contribute. And the best way to do that is to have a coalition versus just one group working individually to help provide mental health services in the community. I really like the example regarding the grassroots and not being able to, recognizing that you have to try to prevent stomping on the grassroots versus you know, and allowing them to be part of the conversation from the beginning.
So I work for the Victoria County Public Health Department, and we are one of the grantees for the Rural Wellbeing in Rural Communities Initiative. And being a grantee, it's really awesome that we get to be here and share what we've been doing within our communities with the other grantees, because this is the first time that we've all met face-to-face. We've had multiple conferences, but we're able to talk to each other and really share our experiences, as well as learn from the presenters here at the conference. The biggest challenge for us in Victoria right now is a lack of resources for mental health. We don't have a lot of providers, and that's something that's common among rural communities, is the lack of resources, the lack of providers. But something that's really awesome is we're recognizing why it's important to break that stigma around mental illness and understanding that it's okay to seek help. But the issue comes when you go to seek and there's nothing there for you. So we're doing one of our important things right now is really just bringing awareness to the lack of providers that we have in Victoria, unfortunately. I really enjoyed hearing about Impact Lufkin and the things that they're doing in Lufkin. And one thing that we are definitely taking back to Victoria is engaging the youth. And we really enjoyed seeing the pictures that were drawn by the kids in Lufkin. And that's a really awesome way to get their input and hearing what they have to say and including them in the process. That's something that we're always working towards with our collaborative, is finding new ways to include the excluded. And we don't really often think about kids and how we can include them. So I love those pictures and having them be a part of that. And we're excited to do that with the youth in our community as well.
They pointed out another of the key lessons learned from the seminar. The most effective collaborations are those that engage all sectors of the community from the beginning. Finally, we spoke with Charlie Scarborough, president of Charlie Scarborough and Associates in Austin, Texas. Charlie provided invaluable technical assistance and grant coaching to applicants for both of our new strategic grant initiatives: Collaborative Approaches to Well-being in Rural Communities, which we have been talking about, and the more recent one called Communities of Care, which is now supporting the work of 10 collaboratives in the greater Houston metropolitan area in their efforts to strengthen resiliency and mental health, particularly for children, youth, and families of color. Let's hear what Charlie had to say.
So it's been so fun to come back around and like go full circle and see the organizations that I coached on the front end in terms of their grants that now have gotten the grant. It's been a year to see the work that they've done and how much they've learned and how much they've grown and how much their program has developed. So both to meet the organizations and see what they've done, but also to learn myself about what's next and to learn new ways for them to grow and to introduce them to the concept of inclusion and equity and just all the different pieces of growing with their grants as they move forward. So the biggest thing and the wonderful gift that the Hogg Foundation has given these organizations is it's easy to find funding for puppies and babies. But when you start talking about funding for capacity building or for diversity and inclusion and equity, it's most of the time it's hard to find that funding. So that's a big challenge for them. So hearing them talk about the gift of having the time and the resources to work on some of these collaborative efforts to engage and get the upstream is really powerful. Just the idea of sharing quickly, connecting with people to build that connections. The other thing is just sort of the bigger picture of what's going on in the upstream thinking space from some of these speakers. So for me, that's really terrific. So that I can understand what's going on to be able to help organizations find sort of just the tactical stuff of how do we include that in our programming and be able to advise them about that.
Charlie is certainly right that capacity building and moving upstream is hard work. But he's also right that the effort is absolutely worth it for rural communities in Texas. Finally, I leave you with these thoughts from Dr. Leonard Moore, Vice President for Diversity and Community Engagement at the University of Texas at Austin, who gave the welcome at this year's seminar.
You know, I've always been impressed with the work of the Hogg Foundation, and I know typically whenever I come to a Hogg event, it'll be focused on providing solutions. I think there are enough conferences and events of that nature that discuss problems all day. But like about Hogg, it seems like the people who present and the people who come, the people who are actually on the ground doing the work, and they are here to talk about, you know, real world solutions. I think for a long time, you know, we have ignored the mental health issues as relate to lower income people. It's not talked about, and I think we live in a society where people who are low income are, don't have any value. You know, we often look at them as landscape, as, you know, being insignificant. And I just realized that in a capitalist-driven society, in addition to everything else that goes on, the lack of money can affect one's mental health. And so that's why I want to thank the Hogg Foundation for being proactive and, you know, having the conference looking at, you know, mental health issues in real communities. And this is going to sound, I hope it don't sound repetitive, but just the solutions nature oriented. And of course, we all deal with obstacles in life, whether it be race, gender, sexuality, income. But despite the obstacles, I mean, these people are doing their work in rural communities where the political odds may be against them, but it just goes to show that when you have a vision, you put a team together and you're collaborative, people from different sides of the political spectrum, different ethnic backgrounds, they can come together for the good of the community.
So our big takeaways: fellowship, youth engagement, shifting our focus upstream, and learning from each other. With that, if you weren't able to make it to this year's Robert Lee Sutherland seminar, I have provided links to a number of resources in the episode description that will give you a taste of the proceedings, including blog posts written by our speakers and videos of each of the sessions. And if you would like to know more about Impact Lufkin, which was mentioned by Jazia in her testimonial, you can find a link in the episode description to a video that we recorded of the keynote address by Robert Schenkel of Nacogdoches, in which you can learn a lot more about Impact Lufkin. For Charlie's testimonial, in which he mentions the upstream causes of poor mental health, we thought that it would also be helpful to provide a link to our blog post about the social determinants of mental health, which you can also find in the episode description. I recommend also checking out episode 64 on Understanding Rural Communities with national expert Dennis Mohat. You'll find a link to that in the episode description as well. The conversation about rural mental health and well-being is one that's at the heart of our state's overall success. Leave us a comment to let us know what you're doing in your... Stay tuned for more on this topic as our podcast continues.